Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the Danny Parkin Show.
It is the Danny Parkin Show, coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. I am Danny Parkins, coming to you from the great city of Chicago. 855-212-4CBS is the number. 855-212-4227. You can interact with the network at CBS Sports Radio on Twitter. And, of course, follow and tweet with me at Danny Parkins on Twitter. Also, thank you for listening on over 200 CBS Sports Radio affiliates, radio.com or Sirius 206. Ryan Hickey is my executive producer back in New York. I have a lot of things that we can talk about today. I'm fascinated in what the Eastern Conference is going to look like in a post-NBA trade deadline that I think has established a clear top four in Milwaukee, Toronto, Philly, and Boston. Zion Williamson had the highlight of the college basketball season, and it wasn't a dunk. I want to talk Zion Williamson comps with you. The AAF is in Peter Schwartz sports updates. I don't care that it beat the NBA in some ratings. That's how you know this league might have some viability to it. Also, something I might want to get off my chest, if we have time, about what the collective sports media seems to be trying to do retroactively to the Super Bowl. But I am prepared, if this goes well, to do 4 hours on one topic today. And that will largely depend on you guys and how much you bring and how much you're interested in it and how well it goes. And if we can keep getting new ideas, I'm here for it. Because I love when anyone, sports, music, even though I know nothing about music, movies, TV, entertainment, politics, industry, innovation, anything that's new and pushes the envelope and makes you feel like you're living somewhere in the future, like, wow, it's inspiring stuff. It's great. Obviously, we will be focusing in the world of sports, and you're saying, what the hell are you talking about, Parkins? Here's what I'm talking about. Let's try to push the envelope and think about how we can make sports better. It's broad. Any sport. Tennis, golf, basketball, football, hockey, baseball. I don't care. You know the sport, your favorite sport. You're the czar of it. You're the commissioner of it. How do we make it better? And extra points awarded to the prism of fun. I know that sports are big business. I know that sports are the livelihood of many people that play them, coach them, own the teams, media rights deals. I get that it's big business and that we take this stuff really seriously. But sports are games. Sports are entertainment. Sports are supposed to be fun. And I'd love to hear your ideas at 855-212-4CBS on how we can make sports more fun. Now, you might say, all right, why are we talking about this now? It seems relatively random. Well, the AAF has launched the Alliance of American Football. They've got the Arizona Hotshots, the Memphis Express, the Salt Lake Stallions. They're trying new things in football to maybe bring the game forward. Whether it's a live replay official mic'd up in the booth, no extra points, no kickoffs. They're trying new things in the sport of football. And we'll talk more about the specifics of the AAF, I'm sure, as we go throughout the show. Major League Baseball. The owners, the leagues, and the union had a meeting where they suggested all sorts of rule changes. Universal DH. A pitcher has to face a minimum of three batters. A pitch clock. A singular trade deadline. A Kyler Murray rule. All sorts of things. None of which will actually happen this year. Some of which are already in place in the minor league level, but it felt so bold for baseball because baseball is anything but, and it's all about tradition and being steeped in its past and its history and the classic game and America's pastime. Well, America's pastime in terms of popularity has been passed by football and basketball. So baseball's trying to do things to spice it up, liven it up, quicken the pace of play, maybe even, you know, attract young people. Revolutionary thought, I know. These millennials, I think we might be here to stay. But also for context, you know that the three-point line became a thing in 1979? That's not that long ago. We're talking 40 years. I bet a lot of you out there are more than 40 years old and remember a level of basketball that existed before the three-point line. I was born in 1986. I don't. But the three-point line, 40 years old. They only started counting sacks in the NFL in 1982. They've only had overtime in college football since 1996. We are in the infinitesimal stages of sports and innovation. Sports are going to look very different 10 years from now, much less 25 or 50 years from now. So let's be forward thinking. Let's think about what sports are going to look like in the future, but maybe more importantly for this conversation, what sports should look like in the future. What if you were the commissioner of basketball and you had unilateral power, what would you do to change it? Football, baseball, hockey, golf, tennis, soccer, whatever. Your sport, how are you making it better? How are you growing it? And again, bonus points to making it more fun. Let me give you some examples. I think that a huge advent of what's going to happen in sports in the future is taking advantage of the tremendous technological advancements we have in broadcasts, right? Because we all now at home, for the most part, have crystal clear high definition televisions. Whether you got 1080p, you got 4K, you got 3D, you got a curved TV, you got a TV in the last year. If you've bought a TV since like the mid 2000s, you've got crystal clear high definition TV. The technology is out of this world. We've seen some of the possibilities in this when the sports don't really matter. And by that I mean, if you watched the match that Bleacher Report and Turner put on, yeah, it mattered because Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson were playing for $9 million. And yeah, it didn't go well because there were technological problems and they had to refund people's money. And it ended up being kind of boring because those two guys were really vanilla and they were playing for a ton of money. But the possibilities of big time golf with players and caddies mic'd up and them talking to each other and then having those stream of consciousness thoughts coming across on a broadcast live and unedited is incredible. Now, if you've got an old conservative network and an old conservative like CBS and an old conservative tournament like the Masters, maybe you're not going to get things live streamed. You'd be worried about curses and beeping stuff out. But 10 years from now, what's to say that there's not a package of golf tournaments that's available exclusively on Netflix or Hulu or Amazon or Apple TV? Where it's subscription, right? Because like, if you're listening on Sirius 206 right now and I wanted to curse, I could. Now, I can't because I'm on 200-plus terrestrial radio stations right now. But if you listen to programming on satellite radio, you know that they don't beep out words in songs or on Stern or whatever the case may be because you're opting into it. Same thing with HBO or a pay-per-view or anything like that. That's going to happen. Netflix or Amazon or someone who's got more money than anybody knows what to do with, they're going to say, well, what's profitable? Live sports. They've already done documentaries, stand-up, television shows, movies. Why would Netflix not get into the live sport game? It's inevitable. It'll happen. And when it does, it's a subscription service. That totally changes the game and what you can and cannot broadcast. It would be an amazing thing. Now, there would be the constant back and forth between what the players, the leagues, the teams, the coaches, the golfers, whomever would say, no, this is proprietary. I'm giving away my own information on how I read this green or what this play call is. And so you would need to figure that out. I'm not going to sit here and claim that I've got all the answers. But what NASCAR does with the ability to listen in for the driver to the pit crew, I know nothing about car racing, NASCAR. Do not care for it at all. If it's your thing, great. It just doesn't happen to be my thing. I never got it. But when I stumble onto a broadcast and I see, oh my God, you can actually, the driver's driving 220 miles an hour and you could hear him talking to his pit crew. It's incredible. We get great stuff from NFL Films and inside the NFL retroactively after the fact, but we never get it during the game or right after it happened. Why not? I think that is a huge part of the future, is getting leagues, teams, players to ease the restrictive rights on what can be broadcast live when guys are mic'd up, and I think it'll completely change broadcasts. Not to mention for broadcasts, we could do celebrity fans, dueling fans in the booth with people. I was talking about this with my co-host in Chicago. He was talking about, how about if you had, you know, Eagles-Chiefs game and you had Paul Rudd and Kevin Hart in the booth as the analysts? Yeah, they don't know as much as Tony Romo or Chris Collinsworth, but it's entertainment. Whether that's a secondary broadcast that you could opt into like ESPN does with the Megacast for the national championship, where they got the coaches' film room, they got the Homer cast from each squad, whatever the case may be, whether it's on the main broadcast or an ancillary broadcast, but how cool would it be if, okay, yeah, if you want to learn the most about football and have the standard broadcast, fine, that game's on CBS, but on CBS Sports Network, they're also airing the game and they're airing fans, and there's trash talking in the booth, and they got celebs and cameos or media personalities or whatever the case may be. So those are some media things that I would suggest. Also, I like this one. More openness and transparency with your fans when you're talking about recruitment, signings, tryouts, whatever the case may be. Here in Chicago, Cody Parkey had the double doink. He's due $3.5 million next year for the Bears roster spot. They might cut him after July 1st, or they might not. They might just bring in some extra competition. So they've been holding tryouts so far this offseason. 6, 7, 8 kickers at a time going into Halas Hall where the Bears train, and they're doing it. Why not do that at Soldier Field in the cold, open up the stadium, charge $5 for tickets, sell concessions, and then the kickers, everything's public. Used to be that way back in the day. Media was able to be at training camp on the site when they would bring in the non-roster invitees, and they would watch the guys out there on the field and then immediately ask the director of pro personnel or the GMs after the fact. Why couldn't kicking tryouts be made available to fans and media? The players would have the pressure of knowing that their results were going to be public. They'd be questioned by the media. The fans would get to see it. You'd make some money. You could either make the money and pocket it. You can make the money, donate it to charity, whatever the case may be. It's not proprietary. I'm not talking about being in the draft room when a team is considering taking a quarterback, number one overall, and they're interviewing the guy for 5 hours when he makes his team visit. I'm not saying that everything has to be public, but sports teams are way too secretive, totally unnecessarily secretive and protective of things that do not give them any sort of competitive imbalance. We see it with Hard Knocks, 24/7, Real Sports. When you get access and you take people behind the scenes of things, fans watch, interest goes up, it works, it makes money. You create new fans, it's cyclical, it grows the sport. It's a beautiful thing. And then I got a ton of ideas for rules, whether it be playoff seeding realignment, which of these baseball rules are ridiculous, which of them would work, putting the shot clock down to 24 in college basketball, making it mandatory that rivals have to play each other after conference realignment in the non-conference season, make it a good of the game clause. Kansas should have to play Missouri in basketball, even though they're not in the same conference anymore. Syracuse should have to play Georgetown in basketball, even though they're not in the same conference anymore. Just things like that to make sports better, to make it more fun. You think there's any scenario where we've got a 4-point shot that comes into basketball in the future? I do. They're experimenting with it in the Big Three. We already have a pitch clock in the minor leagues. So expand your mind. Think big. You got to get past Ryan Hickey with the call screen. But other than that, No such thing as a bad idea until, you know, we say it out loud and maybe we mock it and maybe it's a terrible idea. But let's go. The AAF is trying things with football. Major League Baseball, finally, is trying some bold things. We are real early on in this whole grand human experiment that is life, not to mention sports. Things have changed dramatically in the last 40 years. They'll change dramatically in the next 40 years. How do we make sports better? How do we make sports more fun? Your ideas. I'll do this all night if we have to. We're making sports better today. It's 855-212-4CBS. It's the Danny Parkin Show, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is the Danny Parkin Show.
Thanks for hanging out. It's the Danny Parkin Show on CBS Sports Radio. And CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227. It's brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Here's what we're doing. We're making sports better. We're making sports more fun, or at least we're trying to. Sports have changed a lot in the last 40 years. I use the example that the three-point line came into basketball in 1979. The NFL started counting sacks in 1982. College football started overtime in 1996. And we've got Major League Baseball presenting a bunch of rule changes, like a three-man minimum for pitchers, which will never happen, a universal DH, which I think is inevitable, a pitch clock, which is already happening in the minors. The AAF is launching an alternative football league that has eliminated extra points. It's eliminated kickoffs. And it's done something pretty cool. Before we get to the calls, it's done something pretty cool, I think, in the name of transparency and helping us understand how controversial calls are changed, overturned, or reviewed. This audio from CBS, a live referee in the booth, mic'd up, watching the replays, going over how they come to the conclusions that they do on the calls.
There you see our replay official here, Jimmy Oldham. He will have final say in terms of what the calls are made on the field as we listen in.
Jeff, are you there? Okay, so what's the ruling on the field? It was a catch, correct?
So he's out.
Okay, so well, here's what I've got. I've got only 1 foot in plus loss of control. So we are going to go incomplete pass on this play. So we're going to go back to the line to the previous spot. Previous spot was the 42 minus 42, and the clock should be incomplete, and it was a 4:12 on the clock at time of incomplete pass.
So that's from CBS. It's a little thing, but how much better would that feel if we had that in the NFL? Just the real time, you are watching the same replay that the replay official is doing. There's a camera on the replay official, so that humanizes it. And as they're watching the replay, you're watching the replays that they're watching and seeing the person watch the replays and then hearing their communication down to the official on the field. Why couldn't that happen in the NFL next year? If it's got to be from to a camera in the Park Avenue offices where the replay epicenter is or whatever, that's fine. They've got the technology. How much better does that feel, though? How much more transparent does that feel? That was in day one of the Alliance of American Football. That's a brilliant step forward for football. And by the way, that's why people are missing the point, and we'll get into this more a little bit later on, but it's not about one rating or one day or one game or if one game was entertaining or one game wasn't. If you're a fan of football, you want other football leagues to succeed so that there are more jobs, more money, more opportunity, and then more grounds to try stuff. Like, who cares if minor league baseball starts extra innings with a runner on second base? You don't care about the results of a Birmingham Barons game or a Syracuse Chiefs game or a whoever game. No one cares. So try stuff there where the stakes aren't as high, and then if it works, you could bring it to the big game. That's part of the beauty of minor league sports. alternative leagues. They can push the envelope and try stuff, and then if it works, the big leagues can steal from it. It's brilliant. I loved what I saw from the AAF in that regard. Thought that was a really cool idea in the name of transparency. My guy Brandon on Twitter, been going back and forth with this guy for a long time, good buddy of mine, and he watches a lot of stuff that, let's be honest, it's a little weird. Love you, though, Brandon. He said, I watched a sport today that put a live mic and a camera on the official, Six Nations Rugby. And rugby dudes would quickly note how important rugby officials are, but it's an interesting look at what could be done in basketball, football, etc. Yeah. So I have no idea about rugby. But a live mic on a ref during a game. You could trust them not to swear. You could hear their correspondence with star players. You could hear them going over stuff with their crew and getting it out there. I think that's a brilliant idea. And I really think that we're going to go in that direction because the technology's there. And then if the public calls for transparency as much, it takes you behind the curtain and it's harmless. Sure, sometimes some guy will step on his toe and there'll be a malaprop or he'll say something silly or whatever the case may be. But we have that anyway. That happens in sports all the time. Who cares if it happens with officiating? There's no reason that should be a bad thing. Let's go to Arkansas and welcome Jordan to the Danny Parkin Show. Jordan, we're trying to make sports better. We're trying to make sports more fun. What do you got?
So sticking with the NFL officiating idea, most NFL officiants are old men.
Yes.
Speed of play has picked up dramatically over the past two decades.
Yep.
The NFL has tons of former players, whether they were cut, injured, who can be NFL officials. The NFL needs the good PR. They have a program that takes their former players, trains them to be officials, and has the speed of play with officials that can keep up with them.
All right, Jordan, thanks for the call. I like the idea in theory. In practice, it might be tough to implement because, like, let's say you had a former receiver who is an official, are they going to be biased towards calling pass interference? Or if you had a former safety or defensive back who's an official, are they going to be biased the other way? Now, in theory, that could be learned. I love the idea of some sort of feeder program for post-career jobs for players. The NFL drastically needs that, but obviously it wouldn't be that many people who could do it. And eventually former players are going to get old anyway, and they also won't be able to keep up with it. The NFL's got an officiating problem in terms of they're not all full-time, and that leads to some discrepancy in training, but can you really have it be a full-time job when there's, you know, 17 weeks in a season and a limited number of games? But I like where you're going. I think there'd be a few problems that emerge from it, but in general, that's not a terrible one to kick us off. I see we've got NFL, NHL, baseball, NBA, general sports contract ideas. All right, we're going to get into this. How are we making sports better? How are we making sports more fun? More of your ideas in mind as we go.
This is the Danny Parkin Show.
It is the Danny Parkin Show on CBS Sports Radio. We're talking about how to make sports better and how to make sports more fun. The AAF is trying things with their new football league, like the replay official live and mic'd up in the booth, no extra points, no kickoffs. I did not watch any of it this weekend, but if you did and it worked, we'd love to hear from you. We'll get into the league a little bit more, I'm sure, as we go. But also baseball rule proposals, three-man minimums for pitchers, universal DH, the pitch clock. We're throwing stuff out there. How do we make sports better? How do we make sports more fun? Sports are going to continue to change. And I love when things happen that just kind of push the world forward a little bit. Like, you remember the first time you used Uber? I was so pissed I didn't come up with Uber. Anyone who's lived in a cold weather city invented Uber in their mind. Because you would be standing out on the corner trying to hail a cab, and you'd be like, oh, I wish that Dodge Charger was a cab. Ooh, I wish that Prius was a cab. That's Uber. Uber totally changed the game. Forever, totally changed everything. Transportation all over the world. We all invented it. We all came up with it. One guy just did it eventually, and now he's a billionaire. Awesome. I've got a buddy who swears that he invented the Snuggie when he had a raggedy old blanket and he was playing video games and he put his arms through him. He swears he invented the Snuggie. We can do this. We can come up with ideas, innovations, thoughts, things that'll change sports for the better, and we'll push it forward. 855-212-4CBS. By the way, David Shepard's pushing the buttons for me back in New York, and this will give you guys some confidence to call in because the idea of no idea is a bad idea. He said if you buy season tickets, everybody should be able to sit in the front row at one point. David. The people in the front row pay more for their tickets than the people in the last row. So I think the people in the front row might be a little upset, my man. This is a business. You can't, if your team loses by 40, they can't give you your money back. It's capitalism. Love you, though. Thanks for making sure we're on the air. And that's an outside-the-box thought. Maybe we have to come slightly more back inside the box for my man David's ideas. But other than that, let's keep it going. 855-212-4CBS. Will in Nebraska wants to change NFL onside kick. All right, Will, what do you got?
You know, the rule changes have really just made it a non-play. You've lost the ability to get a bunch of guys just scrambling for the football. So I'm wondering, maybe it's too gimmicky, but two ideas I had for it was either you put just two guys on the field, one from each team, and either you have them line up with the kicker kicks the ball, and those two guys just go on a dead sprint, and whoever gets to it first gets the ball at the 25 on either side of the field, or you just have them both all the way back to receive it, whoever recovers it, the same sort of deal. The only other thing I would think of is under 2 minutes, instead of an onside kick, you just give the team that's behind or wants the ball just one offensive play to try to score.
One offensive play to try to score from where?
From the 40.
Oh, or man.
50, somewhere in there.
40 or 50. See, yeah, this is the thing. Okay, so we don't have it all worked out. So I think your first idea of just two guys out there on the field, that's too much in favor of the team getting the ball back. And then one play to try to score from the 40 or 50 under 2 minutes if it's a one-possession game or something like that. I appreciate the idea. That's probably too much of a long shot because even with the new onside kick, you could still recover it at like a, I don't know, what was it? Like a 20-to-1 shot, like a 5% chance this year? I think the numbers dropped to somewhere in the single digit percentile range, but it was still recoverable. And if you had one time to score from the 50-yard line, that's probably a 100-to-1 play, if not worse. I do think that football is going in the direction of no kickoffs. And then they're going to have to figure out what do you do with the onside kick. And maybe they'll just say the onside kick's a thing of the past. But I do think that they'll want to have the, you're down 14, you score, you want to try to get the ball back. I think that they're going to come up with something. So maybe it's, if you elect to try to keep the ball and there's no kickoffs in the future in the NFL or college football because of safety and keeping the game going, but if you elect to say, all right, we scored a touchdown, we're going to try to get the ball back right now, maybe it's you've got to just convert a 4th and 20. Like, all right.
Yeah.
You know, thanks for the call, man. I didn't know you were still there. My bad. Thank you for the call. But yeah, maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's you got to just convert a 4th and 20. And, all right, we're putting our offense back on the field. We just scored. Now we're down 7. There's 38 seconds left, so we can't kick it away. Kickoffs have been ruled out anyway, so instead of the other team just getting the ball at the 25-yard line and kneeling, you want to give a team a chance to get the ball back. In order to get it back, all right, here we go, 4th and 15. You convert. You're starting at your own 25 like it was a touchback. You convert. You get the ball wherever you convert the play. So if it's a 27-yard play, you start at the 25, now you're at the other team's 48-yard line. You get 16 yards, you're at the 41. You get 12 yards and they stop you, other team takes over at the 37 going the other way. I think that could happen because I do think kickoffs are going to go away. And I think the Alliance of American Football doing away with it, it'll speed the game up. There's nothing worse in football where you got touchdown, review, extra point, commercial, kickoff, touchback, commercial, 1st and 10 from the 25. It's the worst sequence in the NFL, and it happens way too often. I think there's absolutely a point where football goes away from extra points and kickoffs. Probably not the next 5 years, but next 15? Yeah, I could see it. Pace of play, keep the game moving, keep us excited. How are we making sports better? How are we making sports more fun? Let's push the envelope here. 855-212-4CBS is the number. Nick in Illinois wants to talk baseball. All right, Nick, what do you got?
So I was at that Chicago Cubs-Yankees game. Aroldis Chapman made his comeback. It went 18 innings. I had to leave in the 13th because, you know, work the next day, right?
Sure.
And I'm thinking, like, there's got to be something we can do. So I piggybacked off the rule of three in baseball, and I figured we should play three innings. And if we're still tied at the end of those three innings, we should have three-man, basically home run derby, essentially. You know what I mean?
Okay. Like So go ahead if you're still there. But ninth.
Yeah.
All right. So you play the ninth, the 10th, the 11th. If it's still tied after the 11th, all right, everybody sends in their three best boppers, round of home run derby. That team wins in the 12th.
Sure. That's even better.
That's even better.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I like it. So now here's what I'll say. Overtime is interesting. I have an unpopular stance about overtime. Because even though I was rooting for the Chiefs, I did not find it to be offensive that they did not get the ball in the AFC Championship game. That was a minority opinion after that game. I don't really look for overtime rules to be fair. Overtime rules are designed to end a game. Regulation is for fairness. Overtime is for declaring a winner. In my opinion, right? Hockey shortens it. It's no longer 5-on-5. They'll go all the way down, 4-man, 3-man hockey. In college football, put the ball at the 25-yard line. I think that's a little silly because it eliminates a lot of defense, field position, special teams, but it's undeniably exciting. Football, I think maybe made a mistake in going from 15 minutes to 10 minutes. They said it was in the name of player safety, but I think that's going to just lead to more ties, and nobody likes ties. So I think the pros are still figuring out what they want to do with its overtime system. Basketball is the easiest because guys play it so much anyway, and the overtime is only 5 minutes that you're not really at risk of games going on forever. But, yeah, baseball games going on forever is not great because while it can be really exciting in the playoffs and you need it to happen there, in the regular season, if you got a game that lasts 4.5 hours, then you're playing the most meaningful outs, the outs that determine the game, in front of half-empty stadiums at best because it's just one of 162 when people are going to work the next day. The only thing about the home run derby idea that I don't love is that it's kind of analogous to the shootout in soccer. It's like we're going to play this game for 90 minutes, and then we're going to do a couple overtime periods or whatever it's called. I'm not the biggest soccer guy in the world, but I think 30 minutes apiece. And then if it's still tied at the end of all of that, we're going to not play soccer anymore. At least hockey, yeah, they should put the fewer people on the ice, but they're still playing hockey. In football, yeah, they eliminate a lot of defense and special teams, but they're still playing football. If we went from playing baseball to a home run derby, I think we're changing that. I actually don't hate the idea of what they're thinking about trying out in the minor leagues of you got to start with a runner on base. Maybe scoring position is too much, and then maybe you don't want to do it at first base. The idea of starting with a runner on second base in extra innings in baseball is that if you start with a runner on first base and no outs, teams are just going to sacrifice bunt them over, and then you got a runner, and that sacrifice bunt is not exciting. And I hate the bunt anyway. Bunts should be outlawed. But the idea of once you get to the 11th, 12th inning, whatever it is, starting with a runner on second base offends the sensibility of baseball fans everywhere, and I kind of love it. But I'm at least open to it. I would just want to see it. Like, do it at the minor leagues for a couple of years. You know, in spring training, you can't really do it because if games go to the 10th inning in spring training, the managers just wave it off and call it a tie. I don't think the answer is ties, but I do think that that's an idea for baseball to say, all right, we're putting a runner in scoring position after we get to the 11th inning. I think that's reasonable. And I think it would be exciting, and I think it would change strategy. And it would lead to games ending sooner, and it would lead to more offense. All things that I think overall the casual sports fan likes. And this don't have to be all for the casual sports fan, but common sense. You play an 18-inning regular season baseball game on July 7th, you're still feeling the effects of that game July 17th. Because you had to use all your pitchers, and then guys get demoted, and then their arms are burnt out, and then the next day's game is sloppy, and it hurts the attendance, and it's just, then if you got to travel, it's at the end of a road trip. It's just, there's lingering effects. Baseball game shouldn't be 6 hours. That's not, no sporting event should be 6 hours. Let's go to California and welcome Henry to the Danny Parkin Show. Henry, thanks for calling, man.
How's it going, brother?
Good, man.
I was thinking about, in the NBA, what if we had a four-point line? You got people like Steph Curry pulling back 30, 35 feet. And what if, you know, the pace of the game is already getting faster. Make the shot clock 20 seconds. And then the third idea was, you know, looking at the Anthony Davis situation, is even if there's, you know, turmoil between the player and the front office, make teams play their starting players at least 25 or 30 minutes.
All right, thank you for the call. I'll address those quick as we're up against it at the end. You're not going to be able to force guys to play because they're trying to win. We've already seen that with Pop resting guys and all of that. The new term is load management. Teams are going to do what's in their best interest to try to win championships. I do think a four-point play and four-point line is, in theory, possible. We added the three-point line in 1979. They're trying a four-point line in the Big Three Ice Cubes League. I don't know why a half-court shot couldn't be a four-point play, for example. I don't think you'd want to do it all of the time and have it be that. But 40 feet away from the basket, I think that's in play. The lowest-scoring team in the NBA right now averages 102 a game, so I don't think we need it even faster and more scoring. So I'd keep the shot clock at 24. But I would move the college shot clock down to 24. More ideas on how to improve sports. It's the Danny Parkin Show coming at you, CBS Sports Radio.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.